In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
Now, there are some out there, I know. Say, I'm glad we got that part over. I want to hear the sermon. They are the ones that don't do it. Don't see any sense in that. They're too intellectual and too higher planed in the spiritual realm to do that. The other day I was thinking, Lord, we can't even keep your laws in this land today. They won't let us. I mean, what are you talking about, preacher? You take your child out in public today and remember your child is half you and half your mate. Makes the child pretty much of a fool. That's why the Lord said foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And he said the rod drives it far from him. But today, if you were to take a rod out in public and spank that child, and he knows sometimes he gets out there, you just kind of have to bite your cheek a little bit and say, okay, kid, I'll get you back when we're out of public. The point is, you can't even keep that simple law of God today. There was a time in America you could keep that simple law and take and swat his little behind or hers, say, straighten up. Today you can be reported and have your child taken from you. America's a free. Well, I'm so proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. You can't even spank your own kid. And the preachers say nothing about it. Let me tell you why. The preachers in our land today are absolutely lawless. Because, and now I'm talking in generalities. I prayed, and I hope you do. I prayed for some of the good ones that are still out there. I know there's got to be some. They're still preaching away, but they got small flocks, let me tell you. But the big boys, they're lawless. They're the men that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 speaks of. Where were they when that man called Dr. Spock came along as the baby boomers were coming up and said, don't spank your child? They were a bunch of dirty birds mute. They should have been preaching against that spook called Spock a long time ago. That's all history, water underneath the bridge. So we've raised up a generation of rebellious people. But the point that I'm trying to get at is I was talking to the Lord, and I said, now, Lord, we can't even keep the laws. You read Deuteronomy 28, and you'll see all the laws that we break as a nation. And you don't see these dirty birds in the pulpit because they're lawless, calling for national repentance. Lord, we can't even do that. And you know what came back to me was, yeah, but you know there's something you can do. You can be baptized. You see, I think it's really that simple, and they simply know they've got to keep you from the water of baptism. The scripture says that, let's see if I can find it here, it comes to my mind. In Psalms 81, verse 13 and 14, we're going to read here in a moment, but the scripture is very clear. And I want to say to those out there that are believers, that's good that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When are you going to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins so that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, like the Word of God says, not like these preachers say? How is it possible that a preacher can be a minister for 50 years and have the Spirit lead him, speak to him, and never figure out Acts 2:38? Duh! I think it's a different spirit. And that's what we've been talking about regarding the man of deception. And so as I was having my talk with the Lord, it just occurred to me, yeah, that's all the Lord's asked to do. He said, just do the little thing. There are men out there that and women that would not do what we did taking communion. Don't see any sense in it. Jesus said, you do not get the kingdom unless you are born again of the water and the Spirit. Now, how are you born again of the water and the Spirit? By obeying Acts 2:38. And if we would just do that, well, Lord, what's that going to do about our taxes? What's that going to do about us being able to speak? Lord said, just take a step. Amen? And this is what he said in Scriptures, what he would do. It says, we read, oh, that my people would listen to me. That Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Amen? Well, that's your mini sermon before the sermon. It occurred to me the other day as I was thinking about the patience of God, why God has to have patience. He has to have patience in order to teach me and you patience. And you know, he is still patiently waiting for you, you that have been hearing the series on deception, for you to pray the deception detector prayer. Oh, me. I don't need to pray that prayer, Pastor Peters. I'm not deceived. Oh, no, not me. That's all right. I'm patient with you. And God's patient with you. And he's patiently waiting for you to repent of that sin, of not being deceived. Now, as I've said before, and this is old repeat that Pete's given you here, but have you ever known anyone that was deceived that knew they were deceived? No. Because if they knew they were deceived, they wouldn't be deceived. Well, Pastor, that's profound. Wow, how do you do it? Well, if I'm deceived and I don't know what I'm deceived, what am I to do? I say, pray that deception prayer. Lord, forgive me for being deceived. And reveal to me the area where I am deceived. And by your grace, grant me the understanding so that I won't be deceived. And I'm getting reports back from people that are doing it. That it's really working. And I found that this thing's working more than I even wanted it to work. I have found that, whoa, the Lord, through the Spirit, has revealed to me deep hidden resentments in my own life. I thought I forgave all that. You know, and I deceived myself. No, I just buried it. Went on. So the Lord is good and patient. Amen. And he's patiently waiting for you to pray that prayer. I suggest you do it. And we're going on in the series. It's based on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And that's talking about the time that we're living in right now. And that scripture says, and should be on the screen by now because it's on the list, isn't it not? Oh, you didn't get a list? Oh, I didn't give you the list. Yeah. Well, don't worry about it. I'll just read it. It says, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 next. But this series is a series, an ongoing series. First one was deception detection, then deep deception. The deceiver shall be revealed, deceiving and being deceived. And this one is more on being deceived. And you're living in a matrix of deception and lies. It's all around you. And one illustration I gave this week on the radio was the Department of Energy that was formed in October, I think it was, of 1977 by the Carter administration. The Department of Energy. Somebody sent me this illustration, and it's really good because it fits in so very well with another scripture. And first of all, let's read the scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Now leave it right there a second. Because they did not receive the love of the truth to be saved. Lord, what must I do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You should receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What are you saying? That baptism saves us? Exactly what 1 Peter 3:21 says. Baptism doth now save us. Why do you keep on that baptism? Because it exposes you dirty birds out there that are keeping people out of the kingdom. And Jesus said that's the way some of you would do. You serpents, you sons of hell. You slithered into the pulpits, and it just burns you up, doesn't it? The old Peter, the apostle, put it so simple and straight that any dumb sheep could figure it out, and you have to work overtime to keep them away from the plan of salvation. Now go back to that last scripture, please. It says, the last scripture, yeah, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. All right, so what happens? And with all the deception and wickedness. Okay, let's go to the next scripture. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so they might believe what is false. For what reason? The reason that they would not receive the simple love of the truth. You want to repent as a believer? Then you do what Peter said to do. Now, I've got more notes here than I know what to do with. And even after that, I got more thoughts coming on this thing of deception that I have in the notes. Then I decided, as we were coming down from the radio ranch, we just prayed, Lord, just let the Spirit lead what I'm supposed to go to. And so I'm telling you, I think I'm supposed to be hitting this thing hard. It shows these dirty birds up. Now, you're living, as I get back on point here, in a matrix of lies. In 1977, the Carter administration established the Department of Energy. The Department of Energy, everybody thought was a good idea. The purpose of the Department of Energy was to make us less dependent upon foreign oil. And now, 32 years later, the budget for the Department of Energy is $24.2 billion a year. Just think what that'd do for your every American's gas bill if they just took the $24.2 billion and divided it out. They've got 16,000 federal employees and 100,000 contract employers. Now we're going to go to a scripture. Jeremiah 23:22. And yet we have more dependence on foreign oil than we've ever had before. Now God is keeping his word. His word is clear in Deuteronomy 28, which has to do with the law, which the preachers do not preach. He said, a people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and your labors, and you shall never be anything but oppressed and robbed continually. It's just more robbery. Oh, no, it's not. It's there to help us to be independent of foreign oil. you're living in a matrix of lies. Now, to put it on the scale where I want to get it, simply put, is this. Let's take it to the spiritual realm of deception, the churches today. We have more churches today than we've ever had before in America. And we have more sin than we've ever had before in America. How can this be? It's because what we have in the churches for leaders today, behind the pulpits today. And this is what Jeremiah said. He said this in Jeremiah 23. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. The other day, I'm out of the barbershop. Glad you noticed. Just happened this week. Did a good job, don't you think? So I'm coming out feeling pretty good. Got my mustache trimmed too. And here was a pretty little girl just coming up to me. I didn't know I looked that good. And then I realized it wasn't my look she was coming to. It's just another man. She had a clipboard in her hand. And she said, "Sir, would you be interested in saving the planet?" She wasn't interested in me. I was so defeated. Deflated, I guess. She was interested in saving the planet. So I started talking to her, and she was with Greenpeace. And I thought, well, I'll say a thing or two. And I said, "Do you think God gave us this planet without an instruction manual as to how to run it? No, that's why we at Greenpeace, we think there should be laws of blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Now, young lady, how are you and I going to figure out how to run this planet? We got to look at the instructions." And then she says, "Well, where are the instructions?" Whoa, boy, I tell you what, that's like saying to a dog, "Sick 'em." Amen? And glad she asked. And so I started telling her about the law. The law. She never heard of the law. She told me, as we got to talking, she was a Catholic at one time. Now, what the best way to get a Catholic out of the Catholic Church is get them to read their Bible. And she got out of the Catholic Church, and she said she started going to the Christian Church. And I kind of got the impression she was going nowhere now. Well, she's wanting to do something. She's wanting to save the planet. You say, "Well, these Christians there," I said, "well, you know, they ought to be out there saving souls." Did you know, Christians, that the Lord said, "For God so loved the world"? God loves this world. And that girl, I could tell as I looked at her, she was an Israelite. And she was put here to do a job. And she had a calling in that area. Now, Jesus is a Savior. Yes, He saves in the here and after. But He's also a Savior in the here and now. And I explained to this girl that God has a law. I wasn't planning on covering this in the sermon. I got all kinds of sermon notes to give you. But I think you'll find this interesting. So I said, "Let me give you one example, young lady, of a law, an economic law. An economic law that would change everything in this world. The law of thou shalt not charge usury." She had never heard of what usury is. And she wanted to know what usury was. Now, here's a girl that's been in the churches. That's the point I'm trying to get at here. And as I pointed things out to her, what usury was, that it was interest, and I tried to explain what would happen if we didn't have interest, and then I explained what would happen if we followed the law of God, and every 7 years, all debt was canceled. Man, she hadn't heard that. By the time I got done, I told her I would send her Howard Rand's book called Digest of Divine Law. But I realized that she had never heard the law of God preached from the pulpits today. Why? Because behind the pulpits today are these lawless creatures that 2 Thessalonians is talking about. You dirty bird preachers. Oh, you get your visions just like they did back in the prophet Micaiah's day that we covered last Sunday. Ah, oh, the Spirit of God talks to you, don't he? You destroy the land. In fact, we ought to just go to, first of all, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm turning there myself. I'm going to divert from my notes here because I just feel like a calling to. And we want to read again about this man. We've already preached on him. And just, I would say to you out there, if you've not read our treatise called Revealing the Man of Sin, please do. Now, I said, as you're turning there in your Bibles, and we're getting to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 2, I said to this girl, I talked to her about gleanings. You know, the Bible talks about, the law of God talks about gleanings. She never heard about gleanings. So I tried to put it in perspective she understood. I said, in the 50s, I, as a boy, made good money gleaning pop bottles. I got 2 cents for every pop bottle I found. And back in those days, there were pop companies galore. You had Green Pop, Blue Pop, Grape Pop. You didn't just have Pepsi and Coke. You see, there was all kinds of things. You gather up them pop bottles, got 2 cents a pop bottle. The recycle, and she could relate to that, you see. Because she understood what was happening to our landfills in this land. Well, she had never heard anything about the law. Why? Because she'd been in the Catholic Church, then she goes to the Christian Church, and what do all the churches teach? That the law of God is done away. That's what they teach. Why do they do that, Pastor Peters? Because of who's behind the pulpits. And it's this man we read about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 2. We read, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Now, we're going to go back to that scripture, but how do you lift yourself up above God? It's very simple, like I said in the last message. In the beginning, God said, don't. Satan said, do. In the new covenant, God said, do, and these dirty birds exalt themselves above God, and they say, don't. You don't need to be baptized. All you need to do is say the sinner's prayer. Oh, they've had this so-called Holy Spirit revival going in their head for all these years, Pastor Judas, and couldn't figure out Acts 2:38 until he come along with a group and could make a buck off of it. That's how they operate. Still love me? Doesn't make any difference. You better love the Word of God. Amen? And the Word of God says these dirty bird bastard preachers are just that way. They're lawless. And that's what we're reading about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And once you finally start to get it and starts to come into focus, you start to have a righteous indignation. You think, you lying serpent. You'll begin to understand why Jesus preached a scathing sermon like he did in Matthew 23. He said, you brood of vipers, how shall you escape the sentence of hell? And I say to some of you are just twofold more sons of hell. You picked up the rhetoric when you went off to Bible college. Some of you behind these pulpits can repent. And you can admit to your crowd that you have not been preaching the plan of salvation, and you can repent, and God will forgive, and you can start bringing in the harvest. Amen? And we out here, we need to be praying that God will raise up laborers for the harvest. He said to do that. Amen? And I think that harvest is the harvest of the tares, and they're about to be harvested. Going back to that scripture there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? Or do you not do you, and you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. Now, this is talking about the man of sin and lawlessness. In verse 7, it says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We'll just stop right there. What you see at work out there in the land today is just lawlessness. That's all. People are mystified of why everything is going to Babylon. But it says it's going to be revealed. When? I wrote down Jeremiah 23, and let's see where I want to go next. Let's go over to Jeremiah 23. And we'll start with verse 1 of Jeremiah 23. We'll get to the wind here, but we'll start with verse 1, 2, and 3. This is review from last week. Well, aren't you going to give us any new stuff, Pastor Peters? Yes, I am. I am going to let you see something even more clearly regarding that man of sin. I just came to see it this week. I don't even have it in my notes. I was preparing for the 4th. We had kind of a Radio Ranch gathering up there. And that was on a Saturday, and that's normally my sermon preparation day. So I had made my sermon all up. But this, after that, I made the sermon up. All these thoughts came to me. There's more focusing coming in, so I decided I'd just give it to you. Where was I? I'm going to give you this week more focusing in that tree. Remember I told you in a couple sermons back that we are starting to see these men as trees and that the fruit is prayer and answered prayer, and then there's bad answered prayer. Some of you better be careful. I've learned this the hard way, who you have pray over you. Oh, not me. I know Pastor so-and-so, he's just such a good man. And you've never prayed that prayer, the deception detector. But anyway, let's read Jeremiah 23, starting with verse 1. This is what it says. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my sheep, my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I'm about to tend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Now, I want you to notice that he says, I'm about to attend to you. I think that that has to do with that scripture. It says he is going to be revealed. Going to be revealed. Reread on. Verse 3. Then I myself shall gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them. Notice the remnant, remnant, remnant. That's where I want to be. Where I have driven them, and I shall bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. We won't always be a remnant. I shall also, hallelujah, this is going to happen when you pray. I shall also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. We'll stop there and drop on down in this chapter so that you understand what it's talking about. In verse 20 of the same chapter, this chapter 23, as I pointed out in last Sunday's sermon, is a prophecy for today, as well as in Jeremiah's day. It's a dual prophecy. And this verse says it. It says, and the anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. Now, so we see that Jeremiah 23 is talking about a last day prophecy. Now, the anger of the Lord will not turn back. What is this anger of the Lord? Where is it going to be directed? It's going to be directed upon the deceivers. This man that's in the position of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. How many are with me? Okay, there's one man in the audience. If I figure he got it, everybody's got it. Got it? All right, you're with me. Now, I want you to go with me to Jeremiah 23. And we'll start reading with verse 14. No, let's read with verse 13. Now, let's start with verse 11. We'll just read quite a bit of the scriptures here. We'll start with Jeremiah 23:11. And there it says, "For both prophet and priest are polluted." Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe that I understand more today, this Sunday, than I did last Sunday, what it means that they're polluted. Polluted. Go back. "For both prophet and priest are polluted, even in my house." That would be the church, as today. "I have found their wickedness, declares the Lord. Therefore, their way will be like slippery paths to them. They will be driven away into the gloom and fall down in it. For I shall bring calamity upon them, the year of their punishment, declares the Lord. Moreover, among the prophets of Samaria, I saw an offensive thing. They prophesied by Baal, and they led my people astray. Also among the prophets of Jerusalem, I've seen a horrible thing, the committing of adultery and walking in falsehood, and they strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one has turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Queersville, Sodom and Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I'm going to feed them wormwood and make them drink poisonous water, for from the prophets of Jerusalem, pollution has gone forth into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, calamity will not come upon you. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath. I think that's the day of the Lord. Even with a whirling tempest, it will swirl down on the head of the wicked. Who's the wicked here he's talking about? It's the preachers. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. Now, I want to give you some more clear understanding concerning that man, the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I have told you that he is who? Say it. Say it. Thank you. I want people, some people getting thinking, I don't think he's got an audience out there. I think he's just preaching dead air. I never hear anybody. Did you hear it? Say it again so they can hear.
Esau.
He is Esau. Now, the world today has no idea about Esau and Jacob. I wonder why. All the preaching that's gone on and all the Bible that's gone on from the churches in the last 50 years in this country, and most people have no idea who Esau is and no understanding why God says, I hate him. Could it be it's because he is the one behind the pulpit? Sure. We already covered this thing of deception and how it works. Well, now it's come to me that he is of a particular lineage of Esau. We go over to Exodus chapter 18. In Exodus chapter 18, no, 17 I think it is. In Exodus 17, and I'll abbreviate it real fast because there's points I want to make and I'm looking at the clock. And you will find that as the children of Israel were marching to the promised land, they wanted what was promised to them. And you see, we want the kingdom. We ought to. They keep us out of the kingdom. But as they were going, there was a group of people that came and opposed them. Now, this is the story you read about in Exodus chapter 17, starting with verse 8. And this group of people were called Amalek. The Amalekites, we read in that passage. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek and Moses. Aaron and Ur went up on top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. And I want to say to this, brothers and sisters, if we refuse to hold our hands up in prayer, we are not going to prevail. But when we hold our hands up in prayer like they pray, I tell you what, they'll find out what power is. Amen? We go back to the scripture. It says, "But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Moses, Aaron, and Ur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, and thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." Notice the "so." When they pray, so it happens. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.'" Now, notice he says, "I will blot out the memory." And it occurred to me today, that is what has happened. In the day and age we live in, most people know nothing about Amalek. It's been blotted out of their mind. Who? You talk to the average person about Amalek. Who's Amalek? He don't know. He don't know who Esau is either. Amalek was Esau's grandson. He was Esau, but he was Esau's grandson. And God said, "I'm going to blot him out." We go back to the scripture. The scripture goes on to say what God's going to do. He says, "And Moses built an altar and named it, 'The Lord is my banner.' And he said, 'The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation.'" Now, what you're reading about in Jeremiah 23 and hooking it up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 has to do with what we just read about here in Exodus 17, that God has had a war going on with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, I preached a sermon here a while back called Mother's Day Sermon. It was entitled Mother's Day Sermon in Light of the War That Reigns. I want to tell you something. You ought to go back and listen to it, because in that sermon, I pointed out how these preachers are causing widows and orphans. Anyone remember? And how they prey upon us. Well, then it all started coming together to me this week. Who did Amalek prey upon all the time? The women and the children. They steal your women and your children. How many men have quit going to churches because they realize these churches, the preachers behind them, got the woman to follow them over their husband? You ever heard of it? There is an audience out there, believe me. You ever heard of it?
Yes.
And how many young people have gone into a church's young people youth group, and the next thing they do, they look to the preacher over the daddy? Happens all the time. Why? Because the man behind the pulpit is not just Esau, he's Amalek. Does that register with you? Think about it. I got to think about this as we go over to Matthew 7:15. How it all's coming together. You see, the Lord says, in the last days, you'll understand this. I've got a plan for these guys. And I want you to know there is nothing new under the sun. Oh, Elijah took those Baal priests on. And before it was all over with. You see, these preachers think they got a gravy job. But the Lord said, "Be not many of you teachers, because as such you shall incur a stricter judgment." They think they got a gravy job. And they're going to get by with their deceptions and their false prophecies. I want to tell you something else. In that message, as I recall, on that Mother's Day sermon and the war that rages against us, I gave scripture where David said, and there's other places too, the prophet said, they hate me without a cause. Now, I know that this preacher that you're listening to is not the most lovable pup in the litter. But I never could understand why they hated me so. It says they hate without a cause. It's an instinct. You see, when you read, what is it, 2 Peter 3, I think it is. We'll not go there. But he talks about those that will introduce destructive heresies. And you will not find a more destructive heresy. You'll find it on the day of judgment when you believe this lie. Oh, you've had a good time in your little Judeo-Christian churches and you sang praises of Jesus. And oh, what a wonderful time you've had there. But you'll find out on the day of judgment when he said, depart from me, I never knew you, ye who practice lawlessness. You'll find out what deceivers they really are. And the good time's over. Where was I going with that? So anyway, let's just go to that passage in Matthew. It says, beware of the false prophet who comes to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Those are hellhounds. You will know them by their fruits. Let's just stop there. We've covered it already in the series. But this is what occurred to me. Now, if you want to understand the scriptures, there's a thing that was taught to me in Bible college, a class called hermeneutics, the art of interpretation. You've got to understand who Jesus is talking to. If you read Matthew 15:24, Jesus said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What does that tell you? That Israel are considered what? Sheep. Only Israel in Scripture is considered sheep. No one else but Israel can be sheep. There are sheep, there are goats, there are snakes, there are wolves, but only Israel gets to be sheep. But Jesus said, beware the false prophet who come to you as what? Sheep. These guys, an Edomite looks like an Israelite. But they're not. They're not us. We got to remember that they're, when you get the Israel, the Anglo-Israel truth and understand it, there's more that comes with it. You suddenly begin to understand there are other creatures such as Canaanites, such as Amalekites, tares and wheat, and you begin to identify and you begin to see men as trees. Well, this man that we're talking about is Amalek behind the pulpit. God said, I will have war with Amalek forever. Remember in the previous sermon I said how they're using sorcery as a tell you things about yourself, and then you think, oh, he must be a man of God. How'd you know that? Well, the Spirit told me. How is it, Mr. Pastor Judas, that the Spirit could tell you all these things, but you couldn't tell in your 40, 30, 50 years of preaching Acts 2:38 to the congregation? I'll tell you why, because Jesus said, you keep those out of the kingdom. You don't enter in. Esau, Edom knows intuitively he cannot have the kingdom. And because he can't, he's going to make sure you don't. They've got to come up with a spiritual Israel from the pulpit. They've got to come up with this spiritual Israel stuff because they can't have a physical Israel because they ain't physical Israel themselves. They're Amalek. God said he was going to completely destroy Amalek. Now, Jasher, the book of Jasher, I was reading again this morning. The book of Jasher says more about that battle that we read about in Exodus 17. In the book of Jasher, it says that Amalek was using magicians and conjurers and sorcerers against Israel. We've covered that in sermons past as well. And it's all, to me, coming together. And I'll tell you, they will get your wives and they will get your children. And if they get you to coming into those churches, they'll get your gonads. You know, somebody, somebody listened to my sermon last Friday night. Says, "Dear Pastor Peters, while I was listening to you tonight, this came to me. Man is considered a tree, and it came to me that the tree of good and evil are the pastors in the churches today. Their fruit is the bad fruit they produce. The Esau preachers of today have roots that go back to the garden, and it is the women of today who get their husbands to attend these types of churches because she is deceived. The serpent told her she would not die but be like God. Which God was he talking about? I know this is not a good drawing, but I was just playing on my computer while you were talking." No, no, naughty, naughty, don't do that. You cannot play on your computer when I'm talking. "The woman saw that the tree, the pastor, was good for food, spiritual nourishment, and that it was a delight to the eyes. It appeals to her senses." Pretty good, don't you think? "And that the tree, the pastor, was desirable to make one wise. She took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also," made him go to church with her, "to her husband with her, and he ate. God drove the man out of the garden, stationed the cherubim, true pastors, and the flaming sword, the fiery word of God, which turns every direction to guard the way of the tree of life, Jesus Christ." Emphasis added by me. Kind of interesting, don't you think? We're living in a time that these things are going to start coming together, because we are in that time when that man will be revealed. There has been nothing hidden, Jesus said, that will not be revealed. And to me, it's coming, the revelation. And I'm beginning to see some of the things that they do. Their prayers, they do pray. That's how they tap into their sorcery. And we go to Psalms 52:1 to get this point across. I want you to know that they deceive us with their prayers. Oh, how they can pray. Oh, man, can they pray. Well, the man of 2 Thessalonians 2:19 is the one whose coming is in accord with all the activity of Satan, with all power. Power. We have underestimated, as they say in the Star Wars series, the power of the dark side. These boys have power in their prayers. But I want to tell you something, boys. Moses had more. And the saints have more. And we are now getting on to you. We're getting your number. We got your color. You're red. Red Esau. Big brother. Watching over us. Cunning, designing, deceitful. Oh, how you're great wordsmiths. And I'm very thankful for some of them. One thing, I get disgusted with myself, but one thing I can say, God does work everything for good. And the beauty about flushing one of these dirty birds out is the others get flushed out too. And then you find out who's who in this battle. Know this, they can be mighty. This is what it says in Psalms 52, starting the first one. For the why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endure day long. Notice he calls him a mighty man. They are mighty. Go on. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, old deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. They promote doublethink all the time. I have a cartoon to give you an example. And I was done here, right here in this church. So one old boy was going around when I was preaching some of my best sermons on, at least what I think some of the good sermons. Maybe you would disagree. Remember the series on the gods? I think those are pretty good sermons, don't you? While those were going on, he was telling everybody that was coming on here that Pastor Peters isn't thinking good. He's not thinking straight. The guy even told me that. You know, it's doublethink. Now, how is it that I can think straight enough? I was sick. I'm not saying I wasn't. Anybody could figure that out if you look at the complexion alone. But I was thinking, okay. But it's called doublethink. Guy preaches good sermons, and then you tell everybody he's not thinking straight. Preaching sermons that the guy couldn't preach himself. But he's not thinking straight. And this cartoon kind of tells you how they promote doublethink from the today. And this is the cartoon. Jesus is Lord and King above all rule and authority. See the preacher preaching that? But you must obey Caesar and all his bureaucratic agencies, rules, regulations, and pay your taxes to help fund abortion. Now, just give me an example. I want to give you an example of doublethink. Not only do they deceive you by their prayers, they deceive you by getting you to have doublethink. We got a whole list of them in our little booklet that we put out called Dialectics. We'll put them up on the screen, and we'll read them real fast. These are things that are taught in the churches today. Here's a woman. The Bible teaches in such as James 4:12 that there is only one lawgiver, and that is God. It is up to man to make law, and men collectively, the state, they can make law concerning abortion, rape, etc. The Bible says God's law is perfect, and the people will be blessed if they keep it. Psalms 97, Deuteronomy 28. The law of God was contrary to you and against you. It was a curse taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. Well, we'll just stop there because we're running out of time, but they promote this doublethink all the time. As we down in time, well, we're about to run out of time in this sermon, I want you to know that it's coming more into focus. That man is not just Esau. He's Amalek. Stealing the women and the children. God said, I'll have war with Amalek forever. God said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he will be revealed. And I say to you that the prophecy in Jeremiah 23, it says in the last days you'll understand it. He's putting them on a slippery path. And the church is going to prevail. And if we start praying like we're supposed to, we will have victory over these creatures. I got more to give you. A whole new project came to me. I'm calling it the Dirty Bird Flusher. When Jesus said, you will pick up, I think now, that's in Matthew 16, where he said in Matthew 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Duh. He went on to say, that you would and I would pick up serpents. And I think what that means is the good kind that have walked up on stages today. They don't use pulpits today, do they? Don't they walk around and do their thing? But anyway, you'll pick up on them like you pick up on the radar. Some of them have been flying real low. Oh, how go? Trying to get underneath the radar. We got you. And once you got them on that radar screen, you need to center in on them with prayer. Amen. And so I prepared a new prayer. We haven't even got it posted. We'll get it posted tomorrow. It's an in prayer, and this is what I say. The imprecatory prayer against the false prophets in our land is based upon prophecy. Thus, we are praying the prophecy which is praying his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Make sure you pray the preparatory prayer first so you're not for your own deception and hypocrisies that you may not even be aware of. Let's pray the preparatory prayer. You don't have it and can't even put it on the screen, but I'll pray it as I got it here. And those of you out there that need to be praying these prayers, you'll be getting it. It'll be posted on the email. But the preparatory prayer is this. Lord Jesus, create in us a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. Wash us with your blood and make us white as snow. Forgive us for any and all deception that may be in us as hypocrites. Reveal to us the areas where we're deceived. Forgive us for being deceived. Reveal to us the area that we unknowingly practice deception. By your grace, grant us repentance that we may turn away from the sin of deceiving and being deceived and escape the snare of the devil, who himself is a master deceiver. We enter the rock and we pray the imprecatory prayer. Lord Jesus, expose and dispose from our land the false deceiving prophets who are wolves in sheep's clothing, disguised as one of us. Let them be exposed, as were the Baal priests in days of old of Elijah, caught in their deception. Cut them off from the deceiving sorcery spell-casting power. Cause your people to see them for what they are, and cause those of the twofold sons of hell category to repent or perish with the sons of hell. Slay the hellhounds with the breath of your mouth. Cause their way to be slippery paths. Drive them into the gloomy pit of destruction. Bring calamity upon them. Feed them the wormwood and the water of gall. In their place, raise up good shepherds to tend your flock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I pray that are his. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. We're adjourned.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and is available on CD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch where preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on satellite, internet, and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24-hour, 7 days a week web broadcasting website, swbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 76, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Or you can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be riding back this way next week and hopes you will too.